Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever. That's vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever to get started today.
Do your homework, get a mentor, and do the deal. When I say do your homework, read as much as you can. Go on YouTube, get in webinars, get on podcasts, real estate investing podcasts. Just broaden your knowledge as much as you can.
Best ever listeners, wouldn't it be nice to have a $2 million pre-approval line of credit? Just think about that. Isn't that nice? Wouldn't that be nice? How would that help you get more deals done? Because when you submit a pre-approval line of credit with your offer on a fix and flip house, do you think it's going to stand out more? I think so. And our friends at Fund That Flip, you know Fund That Flip, Matt Rodak, he's been on the show before many times. He's a friend of mine. He's also the owner of Fund That Flip and they're a sponsor of today's episode. What they're doing is they're giving a $2 million pre-approval line of credit, up to $2 million pre-approval line of credit for qualified buyers. And my gosh, in this competitive buying market, sellers prefer to sell to buyers who have a high likelihood of closing, right? Makes sense. Well, use this pre-approval line of credit from Fund That Flip, and that will signal to the seller that you're the real deal and you'll be able to close quickly. It's free. All you gotta do is go to fundthatflip.com. You've gotta qualify that you have prior experience and there's a process, but it's free and you need to go to fundthatflip.com to get the pre-approval line of credit, because this is a way that's gonna help your short-term rehab loan happen, because you're going to get the deal for the property where you need the short-term rehab loan. Go to fundthatflip.com and get that pre-approval line of credit for up to $2 million. Best ever listeners, how you doing? Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever show. I'm Joe Fairless. This is the show where we cut out the fluffy stuff and we only talk about the best advice that moves your real estate investing business forward. This is a daily podcast. Tune in daily. If you aren't a subscriber, then what the heck are you doing? Go subscribe right now. With us today, we've got a guest who is a fellow podcaster, a fellow multifamily investor, and a fellow really cool guy. How you doing, Bill Manicero?
I'm doing great, Joe. How about you?
I'm doing really well, and welcome to the show and a little bit about Bill, and then he'll get into it. He is the host of, I love this name, Old Dogs REI Network, which is a blog and weekly podcast for people 50 years and older. He owns two duplexes, two single-family homes, and he recently acquired a 22-unit in Indianapolis, Indiana. Prior to Old Dogs REI Network, he was a missionary in Haiti, and he's been interviewed by Oprah Winfrey. CNN produced a documentary about his work in Haiti. He's based in Orange County, California, and you can say hi to him at olddogsreinetwork.com. You can just click the link in the show notes page, and that will send you to his website. With that being said, Bill, you want to give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on now?
You bet. My background, as you mentioned, prior to getting into full-time real estate here is as a missionary. Before that, I had about 20 plus years on the corporate side of business and as an entrepreneur, even spent a stint as a professional musician. And it was really in Haiti where I started investing in real estate for the first time, I think it was 2014. I received an inheritance check, and I, you know, was kind of confused about what to do with it. I was in the stock market, but the stock market was looking a little sketchy, and plus I was concerned with capital gains and so forth. And so I looked at real estate investing. So I literally hopped on a plane after doing some research and really getting myself up to par into what it meant to invest in investment property. Flew to Memphis and then flew to Atlanta. I came back home in a week with three properties and was a real estate investor. And that's really how it started. It was a real quick decision and primarily something to kind of diversify my portfolio, not so much as a profession or a job, but that's how I got started. Later on, as I realized we were going to be moving back to the States, I was concerned about what I was going to do. And I'm 60 years old, 61, just turned 61. But at that time, I was around 58, 59. And I said, gee, you know, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to go back to work in a 9-to-5 job. Who's going to hire a guy my age? You know, and I kind of pictured myself getting in my car, putting on my blue vest and going to Walmart and welcome people as they walk in. You know, I was getting a little concerned. And since I'd started businesses in the past, I, you know, started to think, well, maybe I should start a business and maybe that could be what I'm where I invest my time. And I looked at online businesses. I did a lot of different things while I was in Haiti and really kind of came full circle to, hey, you know, I've got these properties. What if I just grow that? And it was at that time that I really said, you know, I'm going to set a goal for myself and I'm going to double the number of doors that I have for the next 6 years. And at the end of that time period, I'll have 1,000 doors.
Where are you at with it? And is that still your approach?
It's still my approach. We've got right now, I think, 26 doors. And I'm looking to, you know, to double that and each year to be able to increase it from there.
So one thing to mention to the best ever listeners, I do work with Bill. We've gotten to know each other, I don't know, like it seems like about a year or so, but perhaps it hasn't been that long. So I'm familiar with this 22 unit that he closed on, but I'd love to talk about that and learn more about your experience. So can you tell us about the 22 unit and how you came across it and what do the numbers look like?
Well, this was the first larger property that I'd looked at, and I was looking at certain key areas, trying to find emerging markets around the country. Indianapolis rose up, not as one of the hottest emerging markets, but a very solid, very strong rental base, a lot of good things economically. So I started looking deeper at Indianapolis properties. I found this one property that just looked good. It was a little older. Yeah, it was you know, built in like 1925, but you know, it looked very solid. It was a brick building. It seemed to have the situation that I was looking for, because I was looking for a value add property, and the management kind of neglected it. It was one of many properties owned by a family. They kind of let it run down a little bit. Rents were under market. It had a lot of things that just with a coming in and a minimal investment, I could see increasing the value of this property pretty easily. And so I looked at this property. I looked at other properties, kept coming back to this property. I was just kind of dragging my feet for a while. And finally, I go, okay, I'm going to make the offer. And so I put an LOI together, sent it into the broker, and he said the property's under contract. And I said, oh no, you know, it took me forever to get the courage to do this, and found out I was under contract. But what I did is I contacted the broker after he had responded to my email, and I said, look, if for any reason it doesn't happen, put me on the list as the first guy that you've got as a backup here, and I'm ready to put cash into this deal and make it happen. And that's pretty much what I did. I went in and started looking at other properties and other places, and one day I got a call from him that said, hey, you know, the financing didn't come through on the most recent potential buyers, and you know, you can go ahead and put in your offer. So came in with my offer and pretty lowballed it, but you came back with a response from the seller. I think the seller had been on the market a while, and I think they had gone through a few potential buyers that didn't qualify or just couldn't get it together. So they accepted the offer and moved forward from there. But the whole process from first seeing this property was at least a year in the process.
How did you find the property?
believe it or not, it was on LoopNet, and I had seen it when it was listed a lot more than I eventually bought it for, but it was on LoopNet.
What was it listed for?
I think it was listed around 400 and something, maybe the low fours, 425, 429, something like that, and I eventually got it for 350.
Okay, so listed for 425, bought it for 350. Did you get an appraisal?
Yes, I had a... Well, first I had an inspection of the property. So at that time, when my first offer was that was accepted was 370, but after the inspection, the owners dropped it down to 20,000. So the inspection actually helped me to get the price down even further. And most of the things that had to be fixed were not, and there were no critical issues. But it was the final price was 350.
What type of financing did you get, and what was that like obtaining financing for the first time on a large property?
Well, this was, in fact, this is kind of the first experience I had that really started me thinking about, gee, you know, it's a little tougher for people in my age group, and, you know, especially when you don't have W-2 income. And, a broker had told me in Indianapolis, Wells Fargo was really hot for this market, and you know, you should talk to this guy. Talk to the guy. He said, "Yes, we want to do it." Part of the deal was refinancing the some other properties I had in Memphis and Atlanta, and so they were going to do the whole package. They're going to do the refi. They were going to do the funding of the new building, and the process took forever. It was the longest drawn out process. And
how long? How long's forever?
You know, probably 4 months is, you know, from the moment I, you know, called them to finally getting rejected by them at the end of the whole process. And then that really threw me off because I was already talking to the seller. I had to immediately find another form of financing, and I, you know, started contacting mortgage brokers. And, actually it was somebody you referred me to that actually, led me to the final loan that I got for the property. But boy, it was a process. It was really, really tough.
If you had to do it over again on the financing part, what would you have done differently?
It's hard to say because I didn't suspect that these things would happen because I have really good credit scores. I thought that it would have been a breeze. But it was my lack of experience in large multis like that, that are larger multis, that really kind of hurt me. So I would have probably gone to a mortgage broker first and laid out my situation to them and try to find out up front whether or not I was a good candidate or not.
In addition to the limited experience and larger stuff, what other issues did the lenders have, if any?
For some reason, they really latched on to the lack of a W-2. And so that was really tough because I've been a missionary in the mission field. I have 1099 income, but I haven't had W-2 income forever. So they knew that up front. It just really surprised me at the end. It's almost like some of the questions that were coming to me at the end is they were looking for a reason not to fund this thing. Yeah. That's the feeling I got in it. And I'm going, why? You know, why don't they want to do this deal? It's not even that much money, you know. And that was another issue too with it is that the really good loans are going to be, you know, a million plus. There's a better tier of loans at 500,000 plus. But where I was at, you know, financing 80% or, you know, 75% of a $350,000 deal isn't really worth it for a lot of these guys that are looking for bigger commercial deals.
What about you living in California and the property being in Indianapolis? Was that a factor at all?
No, it really wasn't. In fact, that's what I would have preferred. I wanted to find something, one in a better market that had better potential. Buying in California just wasn't even an option for me. I don't think I could buy a trailer here for that amount. Being out of the state didn't bother me because I had these other properties, and you know, I've gone through the learning experience and the learning curve with those properties, how things that you have to have in place, and how critical your property management team is, but I felt very confident that in that market I could, being away was not going to be an issue.
So earlier you said that the property had rents under market and you would put some money into it, increase the rents, and make sure that, you know, the property is optimized to where it should be. How long ago did you close, and how's the progress been so far?
May has been our first full month of, you know, operation. So we're in that process right now. We have gone through a very smooth transition in increasing the rents. We're sort of a two-phase process over 2 years that we're going to increase them by about 12%. So that part's been going pretty good. The slow part, unfortunately, has been sort of the rehab. And, you know, that's just a combination of different factors. But for the most part, we're pretty close to our timeline.
What type of rehab are you doing on the property?
Electrical needed upgrading, and so we agree that we're going to do that on a unit-by-unit basis as they become available. We are going to upgrade the units. Gas is one of the things that's covered by the owner, and every stove in there is gas, but tenants pay electrical. So as we're upgrading the units, we're switching out the gas stoves with electric stoves. And most of it, you know, it's a beautiful older building, so some of these floors are absolutely incredible condition, and everything was carpeted when we got in there. As we tore up the carpets, we saw, gee, these floors would be so much better if we had the natural wood there. Plus, the turnover is a little bit easier there too, mm-hmm. instead of having to put carpet in so often. And so we're upgrading that. We're giving sort of a two-tone paint to it, upgrading some of the tiles in the bathroom and the kitchen. Pretty light stuff, but definitely makes a difference on the property. Then we're doing a lot of common area rehab. The hallways are they've got this neat wood trim and so forth. They've been there probably since they built the building. And so we're trying to bring that out and bring some of that retro feeling to it. They had this drop tiles. The acoustic tiles are really funky looking. And we replaced those with these sort of ornate antique type tiles that just look really nice. And same with the lighting too, to bring sort of that historic feel to it.
Have you looked at on a per unit basis, roughly how much you're spending on rehab?
We're probably around, and as we're getting into it, we're figuring that out. We had a budget for $4,000 per unit, but I think we're coming in under that at this point. We're also adding AC window units to their studio units. So by putting the AC in there, it really adds value to the rent as well. So we're going to be doing just small little AC units in each unit as well.
And how much do you anticipate raising the rent by investing $4,000 a unit?
Probably, I would say $50 per unit.
When you take a look at this property, what's one thing that you wish it had that it doesn't have?
Good question. I would say we have a lot of singles. We have maybe 5 one-bedroom. I would have loved a little better mix there, maybe half one-bedroom, half studios. But on the other hand, yeah, the studios are in high demand. There aren't a lot of them available in that area. So that actually has ended up being a benefit for us. The other part of it is maybe, you know, something that I would probably say maybe something that would attract a higher level of tenant. You know, we're trying to upgrade some of the tenants that are in there now. I think that's going to happen over time, especially as we upgrade the property and try to make it nicer, both on the exterior and interior.
What's your plan for this property? It sounds like what you described earlier, where you're accumulating doors. This is a long-term buy and hold and not necessarily a 5-year increase of value. Then you flip it to something larger. Is that the case?
Well, I am looking at 3 to 5 years as within that time frame, you know, and again, the economy can do anything to impact that. But within that time frame, we feel pretty confident that we could nearly double the value of this property just by doing the things that we were talking about. If in that time frame at 3 or 5 years, it is double, we'll either pull money out to put into other properties, or we'll sell it outright and just move into, again, a larger property. So we're pretty open. A lot's going to depend on how it goes. We're watching every day and just seeing what's happening in this market. It's located in a great area of Indianapolis. So there's a redevelopment on one side, and then on the other side, you've got this upscale community that is expanding. And so they're both moving toward this property. So I expect good things to happen there, hopefully, in the next few years.
And you say we. Who's we?
Well, we is me, myself, and I, basically. No, it's whoever cares. You know, my wife, my family. I think your name's even on my business plan, so you're part of the we too. But you know, it's right now it's just a solo thing. So you know, really, I'm the only guy that's really working on it. I mean, when I say we, there's a team on the ground too.
Got
that's
it.
You know, tied into this, and my property manager is very committed to doing this thing well as well. So there is a we, but yep. You know, it's a direct, you know.
You ready for the best ever lightning round?
I sure am.
All right. First, a quick word from our best ever partners. If you're looking for funding for that fix and flip of yours, then check out Rod Stanback's company. And if you recognize Rod's name, that's because he was a guest on episode 291. His company's called Flip Funding, and they do real estate loans nationwide. Take advantage of the low rates today and the excellent customer service with Rod and his team. Go to flipfunding.com. That's FLIPFUNDING.com. Or just simply call them at 844-354-7386. That's 844-354-7386. Best ever book you've read?
The Bible.
Best ever personal growth experience, and what'd you learn from it?
Living in Haiti, I learned that poverty has a face, and when the poor, you know, the quote unquote poor, are your friends, they take on a different meaning. And I've carried that into the real estate arena as well. And looking at tenants, it's the same thing. They have a face, and you know, trying to approach my real estate investing from the same standpoint.
How has that influenced what you've done already in real estate investing?
I think a lot of it is, in many cases, it's just working with tenants, trying to understand their situation a little bit better. There are some situations you just can't work out or work with, but there are times when things are difficult and people need just a little bit of grace so that they can pick it up and get their life back on track.
Best ever deal you've done?
I'm probably looking at the Indianapolis deal. I see that as being a very, very strong it's, you know, moving in the right direction. Hopefully it will come out, you know, just shine in a couple of years.
Best ever way you like to give back?
Well, we formed an organization called Child Hope International, and that's the group that we worked with in Haiti. That really is the focus of this goal of 1,000 units. I don't think I need the income from 1,000 units, but I know that in Haiti we do. We have orphanage there, medical clinic, school, and we have the special program where we have micro businesses, a business incubator, where the kids actually learn business from growing a business in itself. And so that's really a big focus of our efforts.
What's the biggest mistake you've made in real estate so far?
Well, the first three properties that I purchased flying over to Haiti, I purchased through a turnkey provider that I didn't really check out real well. And so there were some problems that occurred with that. And one of which being that found out that people in a turnkey situation can plant tenants in there that really aren't tenants that, you know, look good on paper. And after you buy the property, they just magically disappear. So I learned a lot in that process.
Yeah, there's the guaranteed rent that I see some turnkey properties have. It just makes me squeamish. And I'm sure there's a way that it is legitimate. But when I see guaranteed anything in real estate, I usually turn and run the other way.
Red flag, big red flag, yeah.
What's the best place the best ever listeners can reach you?
Well, our website, Old Dogs, spelled DAWGS, olddogsrei.com. And, you know, there they can reach me. They can I'd also say too, if there's anybody that is interested and they would, want to, there's a thing that I use when I analyze properties. I call it the 3-minute rental property analyzer. If anybody is interested, they want to write to me personally, they can write to Bill at Old Dogs REI Network. And it's a quick little spreadsheet process that you plug in the information and in 3 minutes you can have an assessment of whether that property is worth pursuing any further. So I'd be happy if any of your best ever listeners wanted to write to me at bill@olddogsreinetwork.com and put in the subject line 3-minute, and I'll send you a free copy of the 3-minute rental property analyzer.
Well, that's pretty cool. Do you have that on your website too as a lead generator?
Not yet. I have to figure out all the mechanics of how to do that, but I'm talking to somebody you referred me to, actually, that I'm hoping we'll be able to do that.
Cool. Well, sounds good, Bill. Thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your advice. Oh, my gosh, I didn't even ask you that question. I got so wrapped up in this 22 unit. We got to do it. All right. I was like, wait a second. Well, what was his? I'm looking through my notes. I got all these 22. All right. Bill, this is the first time ever we've formatted this way. What's your best real estate investing advice ever?
Okay. It's just 3 points here. Okay. Do your homework, get a mentor, and do the deal. When I say do your homework, Read as much as you can. Go on YouTube. Get in webinars. Get on podcasts, real estate investing podcasts. Just broaden your knowledge as much as you can. Another key thing, get a good mentor. It'll save you a lot of headache. Won't eliminate headaches, but it'll certainly save you a lot more headaches. Get yourself a good mentor. And finally, don't let analysis paralysis set in. Use what you have and do the deal. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Just jump in, because that is where the real education starts.
Well, thank you for saving me on that. And you were just going to be silent over there, even though clearly you had some notes on that. So I'm glad that we brought it up. And clearly my mind is still in Mexico, where I just got back from vacation. Thank you again for being on the show. Those 3 points, I believe in them. I practice them myself. And the 22 unit that we were talking about, for best ever listeners, the reason why I was asking how much you putting in to it per unit, how much are you increasing rents? Well, that's what we do. The same analysis we do on the 320 unit I closed on a couple weeks ago is the same thing, because it tells us what type of opportunity there is. So Bill said he's putting in $4,000 a unit to increase rents $50. So you just take $50. Times that by 12 for an increase of $600 total over the year, and divide that by $4,000, and that's a 15% return on the $4,000 that he's putting into it, which is where you want to be or more. You want to be between 15 to 20, maybe even 25% return, depending on the market, depending on your business model. So thanks so much for sharing that, as well as getting into details on the financing stuff, why lenders say no thank you, and why lenders say yes, let's do this, and then the rehab that you're doing on the property. Hope you have a best ever day. Congrats on the podcast. Congrats on your success, and looking forward to seeing more of it. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
If you're looking for funding for that fix and flip of yours, then check out Rod Stanback's company. And if you recognize Rod's name, that's because he was a guest on episode 291. His company's called Flip Funding, and they do real estate loans nationwide. Take advantage of the low rates today and the excellent customer service with Rod and his team. Go to flipfunding.com. That's FLIPFUNDING.com. Or just simply call them at 844-354-7386. That's 844-354-7386.